Welcome to Saving Castles, the podcast for castle and chateau enthusiasts. Join us as we explore the fascinating history, stories, and culture of these awe-inspiring structures, from the legends and folklore to the latest in restoration. We'll cover it all, so whether you're a seasoned castle aficionado or just discovering the magic of these magnificent buildings, this is the podcast for you. So grab your headphones and let's dive in.
The heart of medieval England beats rhythmically as we step back into a world of bustling markets, distant cathedral bells, and the faint, innocent cries of a newborn. The year was 1102, and the winds of change carried with them whispers of dynastic ambitions, political alliances, and castle intrigues. The child whose cries we hear, a girl named Matilda, destined to challenge not only the norms of her time, but also the very concept of monarchy itself. In the grand castle of Winchester, where stone walls held secrets and tapestries echoed with the murmurs of nobles, Matilda was born to King Henry I of England and Queen Matilda of Scotland. Her birth was a testament to the union of two powerful bloodlines, the joining of the Normans and the old English royalty. Each ray of sunlight that seeped through its windows bore witness to the immense hopes and dreams the king had for his offspring. She was not his first child, nor would she be his last, but fate had chosen her to be the pivot upon which the history of England would turn. As the daughter of the king, young Matilda grew up ensconced within the walls of England's grandest castles. Picture her, a small girl with curious eyes, running through grand corridors adorned with shields and tapestries, her laughter echoing off the walls as the weight of her destiny remained, for the time unknown to her. She learned to read and write when many women were denied such education. Under the guidance of tutors and amidst the ancient manuscripts and scrolls, she was introduced to history, politics, and philosophy. Matilda's upbringing was unlike that of many girls of her age. She was trained not just in the arts of needlework and courtly manners, but also in statecraft, diplomacy, and the ways of the world beyond England's shores. The stone walls of her home, be it Winchester or the Tower of London, were her first teachers. From them she learned the resilience required to stand firm in the face of adversity. The vast courtyards, where knights trained and banners flapped in the wind, whispered to her tales of bravery and valour. But England was only a part of her world, for the ambitions of her family transcended its borders. Her father, King Henry, had his eyes set on larger dominions. The marriage alliances he sought for his children were not just matters of the heart, but strategic chess moves in a grand game of European politics. By the tender age of 12, Matilda found herself betrothed and crossing the vast expanse of Europe to marry the Holy Roman Emperor, Henry V. The castles she had known, the protective stone walls of her childhood, faded into the distance as she ventured into the heart of the continent. Yet, as one chapter closed, another began. Matilda, the English princess, was on her way to becoming an empress. In this poignant journey from the familiar courtyards of her birth to the grandeur of the Holy Roman Empire, Matilda's character was forged. Each step she took, each castle she dwelled in, imprinted upon her the lessons she'd need for the challenges ahead. Challenges that would see her not just as a royal daughter or an empress consort, but as a warrior queen, fighting for her very birthright. For now, as Matilda looked out from the windows of her new home, the vast stretches of the Rhineland lay before her. The English Channel behind her seemed not just a body of water, but a bridge to a destiny that would pull her back, calling for her to change the course of English history. In the grand courts of the Holy Roman Empire, where gold-leafed frescoes adorned ceilings and marble columns stood as sentinels, the name Matilda began to resonate with newfound fervour. The lands that stretched from the North Sea to the Mediterranean were governed not by a single entity, but a mosaic of duchies, principalities, and kingdoms, all under the watchful eyes of the emperor. And now, this vast territory had a new empress. Matilda, the daughter of English soil and Norman blood, found herself amidst the shimmering grandeur of the imperial court. Her marriage to Henry V was not merely a union of two souls, it was the intertwining of two mighty dynasties. The medieval world was one of shifting allegiances, where matrimony was as much a game of politics as it was of passion. This wedding was a masterstroke, an alliance meant to solidify claims, bridge territories, and, perhaps most importantly, keep the peace. Imagine the young empress standing tall in the grand cathedrals and palaces of her new realm. The towering castles of the Rhineland, with their impenetrable walls and soaring spires, were a far cry from the familiar fortresses of England. Each brick, each tapestry, and every whispering courtier bore tales of a different history, one steeped in the legends of Charlemagne and the legacy of the Germanic tribes. Yet, amidst this alien landscape, Matilda thrived. She was no mere ornament to be paraded at balls and feasts. The court quickly came to recognize the steel beneath her silk gowns. Fluent in multiple languages, armed with a sharp intellect, and nurtured by her early education in the English court, Matilda became an active participant in the affairs of the empire. She held councils, negotiated with nobles, and immersed herself in the very fabric of her new homeland. But life in the Holy Roman Empire was not without its challenges. The emperor's authority was often tested by rebellious princes and ambitious bishops. Matilda found herself in the midst of power struggles, where castles weren't just majestic dwellings, but strategic strongholds, pawns in a larger geopolitical game. The Rhine, with its serpentine twists and turns, bore witness to many a siege and many a pact, and the Empress was often at the heart of these events. One could picture her, silhouetted against the vast landscapes, looking out from a castle's battlements. From the high towers of the Wartburg to the imposing walls of the Trifles Castle, Matilda's presence was felt. She wasn't just adapting to her role, she was redefining it. In this new world, her English heritage played a dual role. It gave her a unique perspective, allowing her to bridge the cultural and political gaps that often arose between her homeland and her adopted empire. Yet it also reminded her of the responsibilities that still beckoned from across the Channel. England, with its green meadows and ancient castles, was never far from her thoughts. Her union with Henry lasted a little over a decade, but its impact resonated for generations. While she bore no children from this marriage, the ties and alliances she fostered were instrumental in shaping European politics. The Empress, with her Norman English roots and Germanic title, became symbol of a united Christendom, albeit one that was often fraught with its own internal battles. As the years progressed and shadows lengthened in the corridors of the empire, change was on the horizon. The untimely death of her husband would see Matilda face yet another turning point, one that would pull her back to the land of her birth, to the destiny that awaited her amidst the fog-covered hills and stone-clad castles of England. The ebb and flow of life have a mysterious way of reshaping destinies. The vast halls of the Holy Roman Empire, which once echoed with Matilda's assertive voice, now whispered her name with a mixture of reverence and melancholy. The death of Emperor Henry V left her a widow, an empress without an empire. But while the roots of sorrow may have sought to grip her heart, Matilda's spirit was as indomitable as ever. Leaving behind the Gothic spires and Rhineland castles, she journeyed back to England, the land of her birth. The English Channel, which had once been a bridge to a new destiny, now seemed like a portal to her past. Yet, in this return lay not retreat, but a new chapter waiting to be written. The political landscape of England was a tapestry of intrigue and ambition. The Norman conquest was still a relatively recent memory, and the idea of a female monarch, albeit an unconventional one, was not easily digested by the robust and often patriarchal nobility. Matilda, however, was not a conventional woman. Her experiences in the courts of Europe, coupled with her royal lineage, made her both a prize and a player in the Game of Thrones. It wasn't long before whispers of a new alliance began to make their rounds. Geoffrey Plantagenet, the dashing young Count of Anjou, emerged as the next player in Matilda's story. Anjou, with its rolling vineyards and imposing fortresses, was a significant power in northern France. A union between Geoffrey and Matilda promised to bind the heartlands of France to the English crown. This was not merely a marriage of convenience. Passion, as the annals of history often remind us, has its own role to play. There was, at first, resistance to the idea. Geoffrey, with his fiery temper and ambition, was more than a decade younger than Matilda. But beneath the surface of political expediency, sparks flew. The pair, both strong-willed and assertive, often clashed, but these very disagreements kindled a deep respect, even affection, between them. The grand castles of Anjou, from the majestic Chateau d'Anners to the imposing fortress of Saumur, would soon become the backdrop to this unfolding romance. Imagine the two of them, Matilda with her regal poise and Geoffrey with his Plantagenet pride, walking through the stone-clad courtyards or debating governance in candle-lit chambers. The union of the lion and the eagle, as some court poets described it, promised a new era for both Anjou and England. Yet amidst these personal developments, Matilda never lost sight of her larger goal. England's throne, her birthright, beckoned. Her union with Geoffrey was not just a personal commitment. It was also a strategic alliance. Their offspring would have claims to both the Angevin territories in France and the English crown. While many in the English court watched this alliance with a mix of apprehension and hope, none could deny the profound implications it carried. Matilda was not just securing her own future. She was laying the foundation for an empire that would stretch from the Scottish Highlands to the Pyrenees. As years passed, and the walls of Anjou's castles bore witness to the birth of three children, the legacy of this union began to take shape. Matilda, the once young Princess of England, the Empress of the Holy Roman Empire, was now the formidable Countess of Anjou. But her most defining title was yet to come, carved not just by her marriages, but by her indomitable will, her courage, and her unwavering determination to claim her birthright. In the complex tapestry of medieval history, few threads are as intricately interwoven with fate as those of birthright and succession. For a monarch, the heir embodies not just a continuation of lineage, but the hopes, ambitions, and the very essence of a kingdom's future. As the year 1120 dawned, England seemed poised on the cusp of a new era. The reign of Henry I, Matilda's father, brought relative stability to the realm after the tumultuous years of his predecessor. However, the English Channel, that expansive body of water which has witnessed countless tales of ambition and tragedy, was about to offer a cruel twist to this narrative. The White Ship, a vessel of considerable reputation, was chosen to carry William Adelin, the young Duke of Normandy, and the prized heir to the English throne across its depths. William, the vibrant son of Henry I, was not just a prince, but the very embodiment of England's future promise. With him on board were many of the youthful elite, the next generation of nobility, the future torchbearers of the realm. As the ship set sail from Barfleur, the mood was jubilant. The air was thick with laughter, the creaking of the ship harmonizing with songs and jests. Wine flowed freely, and the young prince and his entourage reveled in the invincibility of youth. But the sea, as history has often shown, is a fickle mistress. The very waves that gently caressed the ship's bow held within them the power to alter the course of nations. In a harrowing twist of fate amidst the darkness of night and perhaps the haze of revelry, the White Ship struck a submerged rock. The laughter was replaced by screams, the celebratory toasts by desperate prayers. In the frantic moments that followed, the cold waters of the Channel claimed life after life, the futures of families and a nation sinking into its abyssal depths. Among those lost was William Adelin. The young heir, the beacon of hope, was no more. The news of the disaster sent shockwaves through the English court. Henry I, who had seen much in his reign, wars, rebellions, political intrigues, was unprepared for a blow this personal. His dream, the vision of a seamless transition of power to his progeny, was shattered. With William's tragic demise, a succession crisis loomed large. Matilda, now married to Geoffrey Plantagenet and bearing the title of the Empress due to her previous marriage to the Holy Roman Emperor, found herself thrust into the epicenter of this political maelstrom. She was no longer just a daughter. She was the potential heir to the English throne. The nobility, ever pragmatic, began to assess and align. They were used to rallying behind male rulers, and the idea of a queen regnant was unfamiliar, even unsettling. Henry, in his grief and desperation, tried to solidify Matilda's position. He had his courtiers swear allegiance to her, signalling that she was his chosen successor. But oaths, as Matilda would soon discover, were malleable in the face of ambition and opportunism. The stage was set for what would be one of the most intense and protracted succession struggles in English history. The tragedy of the White Ship was not just a personal loss, but a political earthquake, its aftershocks reverberating through the decades, shaping the destinies of monarchs and subjects alike. In the annals of history, the story of the White Ship serves as a poignant reminder of the unpredictability of fate. It underscores the fragility of life and the intricate dance of destiny, where a single event can alter the course of empires. In the vast corridors of history, there are figures who emerge from the shadows, driven by ambition and the tantalizing allure of power. Such was Stephen of Blois, a man destined to be known not just as a king, but as a usurper, an unexpected player in the drama that followed the tragic sinking of the White Ship. Stephen was not a stranger to the English court. His connections ran deep, intertwined with the very fabric of its nobility. As the grandson of William the Conqueror and nephew to Henry I, he possessed royal blood coursing through his veins. Yet his position in the line of succession was distant, overshadowed by more immediate heirs and the undeniable prospect of a matrilineal ascension through Matilda. However, fortune favours the bold, and in the volatile aftermath of Prince William Adeline's death, Stephen saw an opportunity. The realm, still reeling from the tragedy, was vulnerable. Uncertainty clouded the air, thickened by whispers, alliances, and the ever-present spectre of a power vacuum. Matilda, despite the oaths sworn to her by the English nobility, faced scepticism. The medieval world was, at its core, patriarchal. A ruling queen was a rarity, a deviation from the norm. Many questioned her capabilities, her experience, and most importantly, her gender. Stephen, shrewd and observant, sensed this simmering discontent. Possessing the dual advantage of male privilege and royal lineage, he took a daring step. Backed by a faction of powerful nobles, and with tacit support from the church, Stephen crossed the channel, making a swift and audacious claim to the English crown. His coronation in 1135 was as grand as it was contentious. Westminster Abbey echoed with the harmonious chants of the clergy, the air fragrant with incense as Stephen was anointed and crowned. But beyond the gilded walls of the abbey, the realm was divided. Stephen's ascent was not just a personal triumph, but an affront to the very oaths sworn to Matilda. Rumours and propaganda played their parts as both camps vied for the narrative. Stories circulated about Henry's deathbed wishes, with some arguing he had changed his mind, favouring Stephen over Matilda. Whether these tales held any truth or were mere political machinations remains a topic of debate. However, the indisputable fact remained. England was on the brink of a civil war. The stage was set for a conflict that would not be merely about the crown, but about principles, the sanctity of oaths, and the very idea of female leadership in a man's world. Stephen's rule was marked by unrest. Despite his best efforts to consolidate power, the spectre of Matilda loomed large. Castles and territories switched allegiances, battles raged, and the English landscape bore witness to the birth of a time of anarchy. The very earth seemed to groan under the weight of this conflict, with famines and hardships plaguing the common folk. Yet, amidst this chaos, Stephen showed moments of genuine leadership and resilience. His reign was not merely the tale of a usurper, but of a man who, whether through right or might, believed in his claim and was willing to defend it. As Stephen fortified his reign, the ghostly echoes of the White Ship continued to haunt the realm. It was a reminder that destiny was never set in stone, that the seemingly immutable order could be upended in a single night, and that ambition, when married to opportunity, could reshape the course of history. In this intricate dance of power, where oaths were tested and loyalties shifted like sand, Stephen of Blois emerged not just as a king, but as a symbol of an era. An era where the lines between right and might blurred, where the throne was the prize and the realm was the chessboard. As the turmoil between Matilda and Stephen raged, a monumental shift in the dynamics of warfare took center stage. The War of Castles, these looming stone giants, symbols of power and authority, became the beating heart of the conflict, their towering walls and intricate defences embodying the very essence of the struggle for control. The medieval castle was more than just a residence. It was a statement of dominance, a bastion of power. In a landscape scarred by rebellion and uncertainty, holding a castle was akin to holding the reins of the region. Both Matilda and Stephen understood this all too well. Their strategies were focused not just on battles in open fields, but on sieges, the grueling and prolonged affairs that tested the limits of human endurance and ingenuity. Castles, such as Lincoln, Oxford, and Winchester, became focal points of contention. Their walls, which had once echoed with the revelries of nobility, now resounded with the clang of weapons and the cries of besieged soldiers. The war was not just about the crown. It was about the very control of the land, acre by acre, stone by stone. The art of siege warfare in the 12th century was a meticulous and demanding endeavor. Attackers, often camped outside the castle walls for weeks or even months, employed a plethora of tactics and machinery. Battering rams assaulted gates, trebuchets hurled stones and fireballs over walls, and miners dug tunnels in attempts to collapse the fortifications. It was a battle of wills, a test of patience, and above all, a game of endurance. For those within the besieged castles, life became a harrowing ordeal. Supplies dwindled, fresh water became a luxury, and the constant threat of enemy breakthrough weighed heavily on the minds of defenders. Yet the human spirit, bolstered by the stone walls around them, proved remarkably resilient. Tales of bravery emerged from these sieges. Women, often dismissed in the annals of war, played pivotal roles. They rallied troops, managed supplies, and even took up arms. Matilda herself was no stranger to these ordeals. Legend speaks of her audacious escape from Oxford, cloaked in white against the snowy backdrop, evading Stephen's forces in a testament to her indomitable spirit. But sieges also had their moments of cunning and subterfuge. Diplomacy and deception often went hand in hand. Castles would sometimes be handed over through negotiation, only to be retaken through treachery. Loyalties were fluid, with lords and knights frequently changing sides, their allegiances swayed by promises, gold, or the ever-shifting tides of fortune. The castle, with its cold stone walls and towering battlements, became a living entity in this conflict. It bore silent witness to the ambitions of monarchs, the bravery of knights, and the desperation of common soldiers. Each scar on its walls, each arrow lodged in its ramparts, told a story of resistance, of hope, and of the unyielding desire for power. As the sieges wore on and the landscape of England became dotted with the tents of encamped armies and the smoky trails of catapulted fireballs, it became clear this was no ordinary war. It was a war of attrition, of endurance. It was a war where stone met steel, where the architectural marvels of the age became the battlegrounds of ambition. And amidst the towering walls and echoing halls, the legacy of the War of Castles was etched. It was a legacy of determination and defiance, a testament to the lengths to which humanity would go in its quest for dominance. The castle stood, some defiantly resisting, others crumbling under the onslaught, but all bearing the indelible mark of a conflict that reshaped the very soul of a nation. Amidst the tapestry of battles, sieges, and shifting allegiances that mark the years of conflict between Matilda and Stephen, one episode stands out, not for its military might, but for its sheer audacity and cinematic allure. It is the tale of Matilda's escape from Oxford, a snowy flight that would etch her legacy as not just a contender for the throne, but as a figure of determination and unyielding spirit. Oxford Castle, a formidable stone fortress, stood as a symbol of Matilda's resistance against Stephen's reign. As winter settled in 1142, Stephen, sensing an opportunity to end the challenge to his rule, laid siege to the castle. The walls of Oxford, which had seen countless seasons and outlasted many storms, were now encircled by an enemy that threatened to be its most relentless. The siege was a grueling affair. With each passing day, the cold bit harder, food grew scarcer, and the spirits of Matilda's supporters waned. The castle, with its thick walls and stoic towers, became both a sanctuary and a prison. Within its confines, Matilda, the would-be Empress of England, found herself trapped, her dreams of ruling seemingly slipping away like sand through fingers. Yet, in situations of dire adversity, true leaders emerge. As December unfurled its icy blanket over Oxford, Matilda hatched a plan, one marked not by the clash of swords, but by stealth courage and a touch of theatrical flair. On a particularly cold December night, with the land blanketed in a thick layer of snow and the moon casting a silvery glow, Matilda and a handful of her loyal followers decided to make their move. Cloaked in white garments to blend with the snowy landscape, they ventured out. The world around them was a vast expanse of silver and shadow, the snow muffling their footsteps, making their daring escape feel like a ghostly procession. It is said that nature itself conspired to aid her escape. The besieging forces of Stephen, lulled into complacency by the biting cold and the apparent hopelessness of Matilda's situation, failed to notice this spectral group as they slipped past sentries, evaded patrols, and navigated the treacherous, frozen terrain. Their destination was Abingdon, a mere few miles away, but a journey made perilous by the circumstances. Every rustle of the wind, every distant call of a nightbird, sent hearts racing, for discovery would mean certain death or capture. Yet, with a mix of audacity and luck, Matilda's party traversed the snow-clad landscape, leaving behind the besieged castle and emerging as symbols of undying resilience. By dawn, when Stephen's forces realized the gravity of their oversight, Matilda was safely ensconced in Abingdon, out of reach, a legend growing in stature. It wasn't just the escape itself, but its timing, its audacity, and its sheer theatricality that made it the stuff of legends. This episode painted Matilda not as a mere claimant to the throne, but as a formidable strategist, a leader capable of turning the bleakest of situations to her advantage. In the annals of history, wars are often remembered for their battles, their victors, and their spoils. But sometimes it's these moments where human spirit, ingenuity, and the will to persevere shine brightest that leave an indelible mark. Matilda's snowy flight from Oxford wasn't just an escape. It was a statement that she would not be cowed, that her spirit was unbreakable, and that the journey to the throne, though fraught with challenges, was one she was determined to undertake. For castle enthusiasts, the walls of Oxford Castle whisper this tale, a testament to the fortitude of the woman who once walked its halls. A reminder that sometimes the greatest victories aren't won on battlefields, but in the hearts and minds of those who dare to dream. The annals of time echo with stories of fortitude, of relentless spirit rebounding from the brink of despair. But as Empress Matilda's ambitions seemed thwarted, a new glimmer emerged on the horizon of her legacy. Her son, Henry, born from the union of Matilda and Geoffrey Plantagenet, Count of Anjou, Henry would be the beacon that would resurrect the hopes of the Angevin line, reigniting the passion for the English throne. By the mid-1140s, after years of conflict, Matilda's position had become tenuous, with many of her allies lost, strongholds captured, and her own momentum seemingly waned. The throne seemed further away than ever. But, as the old adage goes, from the ashes rises the phoenix. In this chapter of history, that phoenix was Henry. A precocious and ambitious child, Henry showcased an understanding of politics and warfare far beyond his years. Tutored by some of the best minds of the age and raised on stories of his mother's tenacity and his grandfather's empire, he was groomed not merely as a prince, but as a beacon of hope for a lineage that had long battled for its rightful place. It was not long before young Henry began to showcase his prowess. At the tender age of 14, he journeyed to England, a realm torn by war, teetering on anarchy. With the fiery blood of his mother and the strategic acumen of his father, he embarked on a campaign to reclaim lost territories and reignite the Angevin cause. England was not merely lands and castles to Henry. It was his birthright, a legacy he was determined to reclaim. His early forays were filled with challenges. The seasoned barons of England eyed this young upstart with a mix of curiosity and disdain. Yet every challenge only steeled his resolve. Castles that had fallen to Stephen were methodically besieged. Territories lost were reclaimed, and slowly the might of the Angevin resurgence, spearheaded by this young prince, began to take shape. And as the young prince carved his way through England, it became abundantly clear. This was not just Matilda's son. This was her living legacy. The tales of his exploits, his strategic brilliance, and his unwavering determination began to draw parallels with his mother's fiery spirit. It was as if Matilda's hopes, dreams, and ambitions had been distilled, refined, and reborn in Henry. Matilda, observing from a distance, watched with a mixture of pride and hope. Here was her son, the embodiment of her struggles, the living testament to her years of sacrifice and perseverance. Every castle he reclaimed, every victory he secured, was a vindication of her own fight. It was a poignant realization that while she might never wear the crown herself, her legacy was destined to shape the very foundations of England. But it wasn't merely his military acumen that set Henry apart. Like his mother, he understood the intricacies of diplomacy. He forged alliances, brokered peace when needed, and most importantly, learned from the challenges his mother had faced. Where brute force failed, a well-placed treaty or marriage alliance might succeed. The rise of Henry was not just a resurgence of Angevin power. It was the dawn of a new era for England. An era that promised stability after years of turmoil, unity after decades of division, and above all, hope. Hope that the realm would once again stand strong, united under the banner of a leader who had risen from the very heart of its trials and tribulations. For castle enthusiasts, every stone, every turret, and every hall that witnessed the rise of Henry Whisper's tales of a young prince's indomitable spirit, of battles won and lost, and of the enduring legacy of a mother's dream. The story of Matilda and Henry is not just one of ambition and thrones. It is a testament to the enduring power of legacy, hope, and the relentless spirit of human endeavor. The blood-drenched soil of England, strewn with tales of betrayal, ambition, and undying spirit, stood witness to an epoch that would reshape its very soul. The names that echoed amidst the battle cries were many, but none as resonant as that of Matilda. Her life was a tapestry woven of courage, resolve, and undeniable grit. And as all great sagas culminate, Matilda's journey, too, found its denouement not in the clash of swords, but in the ink of parchment, the Treaty of Winchester. The year was 1153. The landscape of England bore the scars of years of civil strife, with its people weary and desperate for peace. Stephen's rule, though marked by tenacity, had been fraught with challenges. His reign saw an England embroiled in chaos, nobles switching allegiances, and the kingdom's fabric tearing at the seams. On the other horizon, Henry Matilda's sun rose with a vigour that sent tremors through Stephen's court. The young lion, as he was often called, had made it abundantly clear the Angevin dynasty was far from defeated. Yet, in this cauldron of ambition and power, emerged a possibility, a glimmer of reconciliation. Both parties, aware of the fatigue that had gripped the nation, recognized the need for a resolution. And thus, the stage was set for the Treaty of Winchester, a pact that promised to mend a broken England. The negotiations were as much a dance of diplomacy as they were a testament to Matilda's enduring influence. While she may not have been physically present, her spirit pervaded every clause, every word of the treaty. Her sacrifices, her battles, and above all, her unyielding desire to see her lineage on the throne echoed in its lines. The treaty's terms were clear. Stephen would continue to rule as king, but upon his death the crown would pass to Henry, uniting the warring factions and promising England a future of stability under the Plantagenet banner, a future Matilda fought tooth and nail for. The significance of this treaty was monumental. It was not a mere transfer of power, it was the merging of two legacies. Matilda's dreams, hopes, and aspirations found validation, and Stephen's reign found its dignified conclusion. It showcased that sometimes the mightiest victories aren't achieved on the battleground, but in halls of negotiation and mutual respect. In the grand tapestry of England's history, the Treaty of Winchester stands as a turning point. But more than its political ramifications, it stands as a tribute to a woman who dared to challenge conventions, who stood steadfast against storms of betrayal and adversity, and whose legacy, though not crowned in her lifetime, would shape the destiny of England for generations to come. Matilda might not have worn the crown, but she achieved something even more profound. She set the stage for a dynasty that would rule England for over three centuries. Through the treaty, she ensured that her spirit, her vision for a united and powerful England, lived on. The Treaty of Winchester was not the end. It was a testament to beginnings, to legacies, and to the undying spirit of a warrior queen named Matilda. In the verdant tapestry of England's history, castles have forever stood as stalwarts guarding tales of heroes and heroines, of battles waged and thrones seized. But amidst these stone titans, one story resounds with unparalleled passion. The tale of Empress Matilda, the woman who dared to challenge the tides of her times. Matilda's journey was not one of mere aspirations for a crown. It was a relentless pursuit for recognition, justice, and a rightful place in the annals of history. As we trace the footsteps of her life, each castle, each stone battlement narrates tales of her valour, tenacity, and an indomitable spirit. From the fortresses that provided her sanctuary to those she laid siege upon, her essence is intricately woven into their very fabric. Imagine for a moment the grandeur of the Tower of London or the imposing walls of Oxford Castle. While they've been silent witnesses to countless tales, it's Matilda's shadow that looms the largest. One can almost visualize her, armored in resolve, strategizing in the war rooms, rallying her troops and looking out from the turrets with a gaze that spoke of dreams bigger than the vast landscapes before her. However, Matilda's story isn't merely about her battles or her claim to the throne. It's about challenging the conventions of an age where women were mere pawns in political gambits. At a time when queens were expected to be submissive, Matilda redefined the very essence of queenship. Her legacy is not just that of a potential monarch. It's of a beacon that illuminated the path for countless women who dared to dream. For the castle enthusiasts among us, these fortresses are not just architectural marvels. They are time capsules, holding within their walls tales of intrigue, ambition, and unyielding perseverance. Each chamber echoes with whispers of Matilda's resolve. Each corridor resonates with her footsteps, and every stone bears testimony to her undying spirit. These castles, magnificent as they stand, derive a part of their allure from the empress who once graced them. But what truly immortalizes Matilda is not just her association with these castles or her fierce battles. It's the legacy she left behind, a legacy that saw the rise of the Plantagenet dynasty, which would dominate England for centuries to come. Every subsequent ruler, every decree they passed, and every mark they made on history, owes a nod to the foundation Matilda laid. Even in her moments of despair, when castles turned into prisons, or when the crown seemed a distant dream, Matilda's spirit never wavered. The snow-laden escape from Oxford, her fierce confrontations, her tactical alliances, all stand testament to a life lived with unparalleled fervour. As we draw the curtains on this saga, let's take a moment to reflect. Empress Matilda's life is not just a chapter in England's grand history. It's a clarion call. A call that reverberates through the ages, urging us to challenge norms, to rise against adversities, and to etch our legacy. Not in the shadows, but in the very forefront of history. As you walk through the echoing halls of England's castles, as you touch the cold, ancient stones, and as you gaze upon the landscapes these fortresses dominate, remember the Empress. For in their shadows, Matilda's spirit roams free, a testament to all who dare and all who fight for their rightful place in history. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Saving Castles podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the fascinating world of castles and chateaus. Don't miss out and subscribe to our podcast to get notified when new episodes are released. For more information about us and our work, visit savingcastles.com. Thank you for listening.